I invite you to be finding Acts chapter 20, and we're going to be looking this morning at verses 25 and following. Acts chapter 20, we'll begin reading in verse 25 and read through the rest of the chapter. This is Paul's farewell address to the Ephesian elders. Paul had been living and working in Ephesus for an extended period of time. Now it's time for him to move on. And beginning at verse 25, we have part of the speech that Paul gave to the Ephesian elders before he left them. Acts 20, verse 25. Now I know that none of you, Paul says, among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom of God, will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When Paul had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. The county fair had come to town, and one of the booths was a test of strength. In this particular test, what you were to do is reach into a basket and get an orange and see how much juice you could squeeze out of the orange. If you could squeeze a certain amount of juice out of the orange and into a measuring cup, then you could choose a prize. An older, unassuming, humble-looking man stepped up to the booth. He got his ticket, paid his money, and got one of those oranges, and he began to squeeze. And he squeezed not only to the point where he hit the measuring cup's limit, but also went beyond it, so much so that juice was coming out of the cup, spilling out. The booth worker was amazed, and he said, "Man, I have been all over the country. I've worked this booth in fairs everywhere, and I have never seen anybody squeeze that much juice out of one orange. You must have been training for that. What is your secret?" And the man said, "I have been a church treasurer for 30 years. Jerry, was that bad? Oh, okay, good. I knew it wasn't my best, but come on. I want to talk to you this morning about giving. But I don't want to put the squeeze on you and have you give out of a sense of guilt. I want to be a better giver, and I want you to be a better giver, but I want to do it out of a sense of grace. I don't want us to give grudgingly, thinking that we have to. I want us to give gladly, rejoicing that we get to. And the only way we're going to do that is to begin to truly believe the words that Jesus spoke when he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, folks, the world does not believe that. The world suffers from a terrible disease that robs people of their spiritual health and happiness. The disease is called cirrhosis of the giver. Their giver dries up. It stops working. They begin to believe that it is more blessed to get than to give. And as a result, they miss out on the very best blessings that God has to give. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. And I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, give to live. I want to talk about three things related to giving. First of all, the root of giving, and then the realm of giving, and finally the reward of giving. First of all, the root of giving. The root, or the proper motivation of giving, is found in the biblical idea of stewardship. Now, if you ask the average person why the church takes up a collection, what they're going to say is, well, God needs our money. God wants our money. But folks, I want you to know, God doesn't need our money. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Some translations say the earth and everything in it is the Lord's. God doesn't need our money because every natural resource in this world is already His. When it comes to giving, the question is not how much of my money am I going to give God? The question is how much of God's money am I going to keep for myself? We don't use the word steward much anymore. So I like to illustrate what a steward is by thinking about a stockbroker. A stockbroker takes someone else's money and invests it to make more. A stockbroker is entrusted with somebody else's money, and then he uses that money, or she uses that money, to make it more productive. Now, if a stockbroker uses someone's money unwisely, he's a bad broker. If a stockbroker uses someone's money selfishly, he's a criminal. And so the idea of biblical stewardship is this. Everything I have has been entrusted to me by God. God says it's yours to use for a little while. Use it wisely to build my church and bless my children. And until I understand that it is all God's, He has entrusted me with it to use it productively, I'll never really understand this idea of biblical giving. And so the root of giving is stewardship. Now, number two, the realm of giving. I know some of you have heard me tell about the preacher who was on a jet airplane. The stewardess came rushing out of the cockpit and said, both engines have stopped working. This plane is going down. Is there a preacher on board? And there was a preacher, and he jumped up and immediately sprang right into action. He started taking up a collection. And I know that I, as the preacher, when I say giving, you as the congregation thinks money. But I want you to know that's only part of the picture. Biblical giving is sharing my resources to build the church and bless God's children. And money is not the only resource that God gives me. And therefore, money is not the only resource that I need to use on His behalf. Let me mention three resources that we need to give. We'll let them all begin with the letter T, so hopefully we can remember them. And so that hopefully we can wake up every morning and remember that God wants me to use these three things. He wants me to generously share these three things this day so that I can serve Him and bless others. The first T is time. Verse 31 in our text, Paul says, remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Paul was in Ephesus for 3 years. God allotted Paul with so much time that he could be on this earth. We believe Paul lived 62 years, best we can put together. And 3 of those years Paul used in the city of Ephesus, working with them, worshiping with them, building up the church there. Paul gave his time to the Ephesians. Paul would write in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16, that we ought to redeem the time. That we ought to make the most of our time, and we do that by using it to build the church and bless God's children. It takes time to serve God. It does. And God has said, I've given you so much time, now use a portion of that time for me. Use a portion of that time to worship me and study my word. Use a portion of that time to pray and meditate. Use a portion of that time to rejoice with those around you who are rejoicing and weep with those around you who are weeping. Give your time to God and to others. The second resource that we need to give is our talent. God gives us not only time, but He gives us talent. He gives us the ability to do certain things in this world. And we are to use those abilities to, wait for it, build the church and bless God's children. Paul had a physical talent. If you're in the text, look back at 33. Paul said, I've not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. He says, you yourselves know that with these hands, I can see him holding up his hands right there as he talks to the Ephesian elders, that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Paul used his physical talent. We assume that it was tent making. He tells us other places that he was a tent maker. So we assume that during the day, during those 3 years he was in Ephesus, Paul worked with his hands to make tents so that he could earn money, so that he could support himself and his co-ministers and the needy in the area of Ephesus. Paul was given physical talent by God and he used it to help people. Paul was also given a spiritual talent. Back to verse 25. Paul says, I know that none among you whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Verse 26, therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Some versions say the whole counsel of God. Paul had been given a spiritual talent of preaching and teaching God's word. And again, he shared that talent with others. If you are a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. You have a talent that God has given you that can enable you to serve Him and build up the church. And if you're going to receive the blessings of a giver, then you must employ that talent in God's service. What are the resources that we need to give? What's the realm of giving? Number one, time. Number two, talent. And number three, yes, treasure. Money. Now, the Bible never nails down the exact amount that Christians have to contribute or should contribute to the local church. The Old Testament talks about tithing, which means giving a tenth. That particular teaching is not renewed specifically in the New Testament, so it's kind of left up to us to decide how much we have been prospered. But I'll tell you one thing, I think 10% is a good place for me to start. I don't want to let a Jew living under the law outgive me, a Christian living under grace. My children sometimes come to me and they say, Daddy, can I have a little money? And I say, yes, how little? But we don't want to come to church that way and say, how little can I give and get away with it? You know, some people come with that song on their mind. Nothing in my hand I bring, only to the cross I cling. And that's how we come to church. But no, we shouldn't let a Jew outgive us because we live under grace. So the Bible just says, give as we have been prospered and give generously, give cheerfully. So I need to purpose in my heart the amount that I am going to give, and then I come and I cheerfully give that amount. And I will say that I need to give God what is right, not what is left. So we are given certainly treasures by God. We are entrusted with those, and we share with Him and with others. And then finally, the reward of giving. Remember that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let me tell you about three rewards quickly. Number one, there's what I call the satisfaction reward. If I told you that there is a pill that could reduce stress, improve your immune system, fight depression and anxiety, enhance your sense of purpose in life, and actually increase your lifespan, help you to live longer, would you want to know about that pill, and would you go find it, and would you take the pill? Well, can I tell you that science tells us that being a generous giver will do all of those things for you and more? You do your research and you look at what scientists have found about the benefits of being a giver rather than a taker, and they are absolutely amazing. There are two categories of people in this world. There are the givers and the takers. The takers may eat better, but I guarantee you the givers sleep better. There is the satisfaction reward of giving. Number two, there is the social reward. Giving, of course, is good for those who are in need, and that's one of the reasons that we give. There are people who can work and won't work, and Paul says those folks are on their own. If a man won't work, neither let him eat. But there are so many who would work, but they cannot, and those people need support, and part of the work that we do in the church is to support those people. Giving, of course, brings people closer to us, and it also brings us closer to them. There is a social reward. And then finally, there is a spiritual reward to giving. In fact, several. Just think about a few of these spiritual reward for the giver. Number one, giving makes me more like God. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He did what? He gave. Love gives. God gives. Paul says to Timothy that God has given us all things richly to enjoy. God has given us all things. I am never more like God than when I am giving. Giving draws me closer to God. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Think about that. Where I send my treasure, my heart follows. And if I give my treasures to God and to others, then my heart follows and I will grow closer to God and others. Giving is an investment for eternity. As somebody has said, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead by giving. Do you know that everything I save is going to be given to somebody else? Everything I spend is going to be gone forever. But everything I give is going to be mine forever. I need to give in order to live. And then, of course, giving blesses me in return. The words here in our text, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul was a giver, and I want you to see what the Ephesians thought of him. How do they feel about Paul leaving? If you're in the text, back to the end of it, verse 36, when Paul had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed, they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them the most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. You want people to grieve when you're gone? You want to outlive your life? Then be a generous giver. Someone has said, when you were born, you cried and the world rejoiced. Now live in such a way that when you die, the world cries and you rejoice. You do that by living the way Paul lived among the Ephesians. He took seriously. He believed. He practiced Jesus' words. It is more blessed to give than to receive. As we close this morning, let me challenge you to be like the Macedonians. The Bible says they first gave themselves. And if you are not a Christian, then you have yet to give yourself to God. And that's what we want to invite you to do as we close this morning. Just step inside the circle and say, yes, Lord, I'll give my time, I'll give my treasures, I'll give my talents, but first of all, I'm giving you my totality. I'm giving you all of me. If you're not a baptized believer, you could come this morning confessing your belief in Jesus, confessing your sin, confessing your desire to turn from that sin, put him on in baptism, and then go to work serving him and serving others by being a generous giver. If you're ready to give yourself, come right now as together we stand and as we sing.